Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Appreciate you listening. Thursday, October 1, or October the 1st, whichever you prefer. And we, again, thank you for listening to American Family Radio, AFR. Check us out on the internet. Ed Battagliano with me. Yours truly, Tim Wellman. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard in KCKS. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, it's sunny. It's clear, sunny. It's a little chilly this morning. I got the space heater on, but other than that, we're good.
You're gonna have a frost there this weekend or anything?
We're supposed to get our first frost of the season coming up tomorrow night into Saturday.
Well, the leaves are turning in a lot of places. Fall is here. And we do have some college football, too, in high school. Some high school football. Pros already started a couple weeks back. But Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Yes, coming to you from Chile, Venus. Someone left the back door open to Canada.
That's a good one.
We in the South welcome the cooler weather this time of the year. I'll tell you, it feels good.
Feels good. It's nice. It's nice to have the, you know, when it's hot and humid, 94, 95, 93, and humidity index up to, or heat index up to 100 plus. It's for 6 weeks. We like that first cool breeze. We'll take it. All right, not to talk about, folks. We're how many days away from the election, Fred? A little test for you.
I think we are 32 days, 13 hours, and 52 minutes.
Wow. You passed, sir.
I didn't tip him off on that. We haven't talked this morning, Fred.
Very impressive.
Nobody knows if he's right.
That's true.
I have to be honest. My brain doesn't work that well, I'll tell you. No, I just happen to have Fox up on our computer in the studio here, and it has a countdown to Election Day. So I can even give you the seconds if you like.
Ray, you walk the Missouri-Kansas border there. I guess the president's favored in both those states, right?
Yeah, he's gonna carry Missouri, and he's going to carry Kansas. And, it's going to be all red up and down through this middle part of the country. These are the red states. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Where are you looking at the map, Ed? Your home area. Well, where you were born and raised.
That's pretty blue right now. I looked at New Hampshire. Now, I was born in the Boston area, but grew up in New Hampshire, Nashua, New Hampshire, right across the border, Nashua, New Hampshire. And I looked yesterday, and Biden was up by like 8 points
in New Hampshire.
And I've explained this before. When I was growing up, New Hampshire was solidly red state. I don't think we used those kinds of terms back then, but it was solidly conservative. And what happened was all the liberals from Massachusetts, which we call Taxachusetts, moved to New Hampshire. No income tax there. Great, you know, tax policy. Conservative state, and they turned it blue.
Isn't that amazing that the lefties left Massachusetts to go up to a state that doesn't tax, yet lefties love to tax?
Yes, no, this happens in state after state.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's happening, right? That's what's happening now in Texas, in Georgia, in North Carolina, and to a certain extent in Florida. Those four states come to mind other states, Colorado.
Virginia. Arizona. Virginia became, right. It used to be a kind of was a red state.
But these states that are conservative otherwise have had a lot of liberal people move there.
Right.
To escape liberalism.
Yes.
Right, right.
And then they vote Democrat. Well, it's like more. Well, give me more of the same. I want to destroy this state too.
Let me just quote a famous philosopher, and that's the mother of Forrest Gump, who said, "Stupid is as stupid does." And so liberals flee liberal states because of liberal policies.
Yes.
And then they turn the red states liberal.
Yes. Idaho and Montana, two other states where that's going on. We were talking to a couple from Montana a few weeks back. Allison and I were visiting with a couple from Montana. And they've lived there a long time. And the lady said, yeah, the people are moving from California to escape Montana. I mean, excuse me, they're moving to Montana to escape California because of the wacky liberal ideas that are taking grip there. And then they vote Democrat or think about consistency.
Yes.
She said, well, my friend who's a real estate agent says politely to them, if you're coming here to escape the fallout from liberalism in California or progressivism, and you're going to vote for Democrats, go back.
Yes, good right. for her.
Right.
Go back to where you came from. Anyway, that is a phenomenon that's going on.
Yes,
all across the country. All right, Fred.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Still a lot of talk about the verbal brawl from Tuesday night called the first presidential debate. And someone actually did a count yesterday of either candidate talking over the other one. And I think it was like 140 times President Trump talking over somebody else. And then I think it was Biden 65 or 70 talking over the president or the moderator, whatever the case may be. So that leads us to the story that came out late yesterday afternoon, where the debate commission, which is the body set up to run these debates, they're catching a lot of flack. They say, you know, got to do something about this talking over thing. And one of the things apparently being considered for the next presidential debate, which is on the 15th, I think, of this month, is giving the moderator the power to cut off microphones. All right. So if the moderator says, okay, this candidate is talking too much and the other guy needs to be able to talk without an interruption, I'm going to cut his mic. That has some people concerned, and one of them is House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Here's cut number two.
Joe Biden's campaign uses a mute button on Joe Biden every day where they put that lid on it 7 of the last 14 days. So he's used to it. But the American people are not. If you're going to run for the free leader of this world, we want to hear what you say. But now we're going to allow one person, a moderator, to determine what the American people can hear from our candidates? Of course they want to change the rules. Anything that gives Joe Biden some type of advantage. And the one thing I would say is don't put a mute button on Joe Biden. And for the president, don't interrupt him, because every time I watched him speaking, he couldn't finish his sentence. You looked into his eyes. I mean, I've spent a lot of time with Joe Biden when he was vice president. This is not the same man that I used to have breakfast with.
All right. That was House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. And, you know, some people may agree with Mr. McCarthy. Others may say, no, we need a more ordered debate. Now, the next debate, the next presidential debate, is going to be held down in Florida, and it's going to be a town hall. So the format already is going to be a little bit different. So perhaps the need for a mute microphone button may not be needed down there because it is a different environment.
Well, explain to me how this is going to work, this town hall.
Well, they've done this before. They take questions from members of the audience. And the moderator just passes those along to individual candidates. Supposedly, the questions have been screened according to party loyalty, and the candidates get a chance to respond.
Listen, I don't think the idea of the moderator muting a microphone is going to work. I tell you, if you really now, I don't know what about the town hall format. What I'm about to suggest probably wouldn't work for that. But what you could do is have the podiums for the two candidates, and when it is their turn to answer the question from the moderator, they have to walk up to their microphone. You have the microphone a few feet in front of the podium. Vice President Biden, and he comes to his microphone. You ask the question, he responds. President Trump is at his podium and doesn't have a microphone. And in fact, the microphone isn't working. I mean, to me, that's the only way you can... You can avoid having a biased moderator mute someone in the middle of what they're saying.
No, I'll tell you how this will work. You tell each candidate, right, that if you don't interrupt, the other fella will contribute $1 million to your campaign.
Yeah, that'll work.
And you watch how fast they shut up.
Donald Trump, he just say, I'll kick in my $1 million to listen. You got two personalities. President Trump, much more bombastic, but Joe Biden has his own moments.
Now, he's a smarty.
Yes.
Is what he is.
Yeah.
Trump has a little bit of that, and Trump is boisterous or what do you call it?
Bombastic.
Bombastic sometimes.
Bombastic, yeah.
I call him Smirking Joe.
Right.
Instead of Smoking Joe?
Instead of Smoking Joe, he's Smirking Joe. I mean, every time the president answered a question, he did the mocking smile.
Yeah.
You know.
He called him a clown. He told the president to shut up, which I don't think has ever happened in any presidential debate ever. So
called him a racist.
Called him a liar. Said everything this guy says is a lie.
By the way, if you go back and watch him, I don't want to relive Monday night?
Tuesday night
here. We did that yesterday. But Chris Wallace, as I went back and watched some of the tape, clearly favored Biden.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, he did ask Biden some hard questions. He asked Trump some hard questions. But by favor, I mean, here's it's the way you interrupt, or rephrase questions for Biden. Let him get away with not answering the question about will you pack the Supreme Court, sir. Why didn't Chris Wallace say, look, President Trump sat down with me for an hour for a one-on-one conversation, which is probably a lot more detailed in answers to policy questions than we're able to even do right here, right now. Will you, sir, Vice President Biden, sit down with me for a one-on-one hour interview? Why didn't he ask him that?
Right.
That would seem obvious to ask him that. Also, what do you think about tipping off the candidates on the questions,
on the
topics for
subject matter?
Yeah, maybe this doesn't seem to me. You give somebody a pop quiz, you tell them the questions before.
Well, I don't have as much of a problem with that simply because for candidates not to know that those are on the table.
Yeah, I guess so.
They would know. Now it would help them in terms of not studying up on foreign policy or, you know, trade with China. You could focus on those six topics that might help.
I don't think that this town hall could be disastrous too, but I don't see the necessity of a debate format. Here's what I would prefer to see. I would prefer to see whoever the moderator is give them an hour, like Chris Wallace did on his interview. Give them an hour with the candidate, or do one candidate at a time. If you want to do a town hall format, do a moderator, a candidate, and the audience. Do that. Why the need for both candidates to appear on the stage at the same time? I don't see the necessity of it. I think you would, especially with the way these guys are prone to interrupt one another. I just see, wouldn't you get more value that way than you do this?
You certainly would in terms of actual discussion of the topics.
Right.
But Tim, we know people want to see Trump and Biden going head to head, see how they play off each other.
The gladiators.
The gladiators.
We want to see the gladiators.
Right, right.
Even though they're the senior circuit. They're the old timers game.
Instead of American gladiator, it's geriatric gladiator. this is unusual. I don't know whether it's a reflection of their personalities or the fact that America is so brutally divided, but I've never seen a debate decay like that one. Well, actually, it didn't even have time to decay.
Oh, Biden called him the worst president ever, too.
Yes. There are all kinds of insults.
A lot of the media is acting, Fred, like the Biden.
I didn't finish my comment, so.
Well, I'm interrupting you here. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say, most debates you can have that interaction between presidential candidates because it rarely is as over the top in terms of interruptions.
Yeah, but somebody threw the banana pudding across the room.
Oh, yeah. It was a sure enough
and
food
And it started.
Fight. Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
But I'm saying that the media wants to act like Biden was some kind of gentle soul trying to bring calm to the situation. And he's saying, you're the worst president ever.
Yes.
You're a liar. You're a racist. You're a clown.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Biden trying to deflect from his son's go ahead and talk about that story.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, immediately, you know, Biden tried to deflect to the son who passed away from a brain tumor. But Trump tries to bring him back. No, I'm talking about Hunter. I'm talking about Hunter and Burisma in the Ukraine. I'm talking about the $3.5 million check that Hunter, your son, got from Moscow. And I mean, that's a matter of public record right now. And Biden turned around and said, no, it's all a lie.
The Senate Republican report yesterday, and it was a Republican report, Bo, they documented all this money.
Yes.
So when Biden says that's not true, that Hunter Biden made all these millions and millions of dollars from his business deals in China and the Ukraine and now Russia and so forth, that's just a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, it's from Wired, the Wired money trail they were talking about yesterday.
Joe Biden can say it's not the way you're characterizing it.
Right.
But you can't deny that the money went to Hunter Biden.
No. And I don't even know if people care about that enough. It's like I was saying to Ed yesterday, Fred and Ray. I think people's minds are already fixed on who they're going to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
With maybe a sliver, maybe 5-10% at the most that are undecided. And so this, no matter what you tell them, if you're fixed on the candidate right now, you're not gonna flip, because there's no Democrats that are gonna go, you know, Hunter Biden, he made a killing off his dad being VP. I think I'm going for Trump.
Right.
Nobody's gonna do that. Do you think anybody's gonna do that?
Not that one alone. That one issue. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what happens is that people, they get a general perception in their minds, a characterization of a candidate, and then things like that, those kinds of items, those kinds of issues, simply become justifications for their perception. So if you think Joe Biden is a longtime, you know, political figure who's making a fortune and is corrupt like all those people up in D.C., then that becomes one more example of why he's a swamp creature.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed, Fred, and Ray. Go ahead.
Let's talk a little bit about everybody's favorite former FBI director, James Comey. He appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday, and the Judiciary Committee brought him back because we now know, it's well documented, that the information that the FBI under James Comey sent corrupted information to the FISA court on several occasions. So they brought him back to ask him questions about, all right, now you know that the information was corrupt, that it was driven by political opposition to President Trump, Hillary Clinton's campaign. You know all that now. In fact, you knew it when it was happening. But have a listen. This, and we have an exchange here. Between Senator Josh Hawley, Republican senator from Missouri, who's hammering away at Comey yesterday, give us the truth. Can you own up to what was going on under your direction? Cut number 8.
Are you responsible for these certifications or not?
I don't believe you're accurately describing the statutory requirement for
certification. Are you responsible for these certifications or not? Answer my question.
I sign certifications on every FISA that the FBI sends over to the FISA court, including these.
Are you responsible for this misleading evidence given to the FISA court? Yes or no?
Yes, in the sense of command responsibility. No, in that I didn't have personal knowledge that would have led me to understand that we weren't supplying complete information.
Let's talk about what personal knowledge you have. When you certified the first Carta Page FISA application, you believed that Mr. Steele was working for the Democratic Party, didn't you?
I don't remember whether I knew the Democratic Party. I knew that he was working for political opponents of President Trump.
I didn't know he was working for the Clintons, but I was aware he was working for the political opponent.
Huh. Maybe it was Howdy Doody. Who knows?
Who could it be?
It was absolutely, I watched some of this yesterday. It was absolutely amazing. I think James Comey has earned the reputation that some are giving him, slick and sleazy.
That's absolutely accurate. That's slick and sleazy. Listen, I think what's clear is that James Comey, which I would have advised him to do if I was working for him, I would say, you better lawyer up and you better talk to lawyers and you better do exactly what your lawyers tell you to do to protect yourself. Because, listen, this guy, he signed these FISA requests.
To spy on the Trump campaign.
To spy on the Trump campaign. There's no way someone in his position just signs on to these and goes, well, I hope these are legal. I'm just trusting you. You're putting these in front of me. No way.
That's what I was going to say. We have all signed documents in our life. At least I've signed a lot of them over my 3 or 4 decades in my position here at the ministry. Of things my associates bring to me and say, I've checked this out. We need your signature here. Right. Well, I don't go through all 8 pages of everything detail. I just trust what that person says to me, and then I sign it. Now, so we've all done that. So what he's talking about does happen on a daily basis
right. With
people in management all over the country. However, what we're talking about here is, sir, you're about to sign papers here. We're going to a judge with, so we can spy on a candidate or Vice President Trump. Okay, that's what you're signing. So he knew full well
right. What
he was signing and what the consequences were. He knew all that. So that him acting coy with that answer right there, or trying to split hairs
right. With
that answer right now, he was giving the answer I just said a minute ago. That is, oh, man, you know, somebody put something in front of me, and I thought I knew generally what was going on, but it was 4:55, and my grandson had a ball game, right. And I just signed to spy on the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
I really didn't know what I was doing. I mean, that's what he wants us to believe right there.
Look, he has got a bad case, a really bad case of selective amnesia. Yesterday, he remembered only what he wanted to remember and conveniently overlooked or forgot everything else. It was really, I was going to say, disgraceful performance, just mostly pathetic and lacking all credibility.
Yeah.
It's shocking. This guy was, he was the head of the FBI, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's shocking that a man like that could have gotten to such a high position.
Let me just tell you what happened. I'm just going to tell you.
You just tell us, Ed.
I'm going to tell you what happened. He and Tim, you've said this on occasion too, so I'm going to bounce off what you have said in the past. James Comey expected Hillary Clinton to win in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
And so they wanted to make sure Trump didn't win. He sided with this scheme to spy on them, to end his campaign, or to undermine him after he won. He knew exactly what he was signing on to, and that performance was to save his hide in case charges are filed.
Right.
He expected Hillary to win, and then all this dirt would be buried somewhere with all the other bodies done in by the Clintons, and he'd be home free. He'd be FBI director again.
And the vast majority of pundits believe that exactly what you said, that Hillary Clinton was going to win the election.
Right.
And then all this would go away for them.
Yep. Cover up.
We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers the impulse drive?
dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting degree to 49595. That's degree to 49595.
Fox News Channel host Chris Wallace ought to be ashamed. Defending Joe Biden, attacking President Trump, it was hardly a fair and balanced debate. The most egregious moment came when Wallace brought up Charlottesville, Virginia. He accused President Trump of calling the white supremacist very fine people, an allegation that has been disproven by all the networks, including CNN. It was a lie, an ugly smear. The very minute Mr. Wallace asked that question, the debate should have been stopped. He should have been removed from the platform. The president was then asked to condemn white supremacy, which he has many, many times. Not once did Wallace ask Biden to condemn Antifa or even the Black Lives Matter Marxists. Americans deserve a fair and balanced presidential debate. What they got Tuesday night was a mainstream media hit job. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern or download my free podcast at toddstearns.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Should you want to join us via our live video stream, go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show there live. Today's Issues is what you type in for Facebook or YouTube. On our Facebook page, we also post the stories that we're talking about. Fred collects those for us every morning, and we put them up there so you can have them for yourself. I'm Tim with Ed, Ray, and Fred. And Tim, Fred, and Ed are in Tupelo, Mississippi. And our brother Ray, although he sounds like he's in studio with us,
sure does.
Kansas City, Kansas. And we thank you for listening wherever you may be, across the country or around the world. We have listeners internationally here too. American Family Radio, because of our AFR app. A lot of people download the AFR app, and that way you can listen anywhere in the world. Go ahead, Fred. You were going to say, what were we talking about before the break?
Well, we were talking about the appearance yesterday of James Comey.
Oh, yeah.
For the Senate Judiciary Committee.
And that went so well.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about.
Hey, do you want to hear a little bit more of that?
Of what?
Of that exchange.
Is it worth it?
Well, yeah, I think the American public needs to hear.
Okay, a little more conversation.
The kind of person that we had in James Comey as the FBI director.
All right, go.
All right, cut number 7 there. Right?
So do you recall?
I do not.
Do you recall?
I do not. I don't remember any discussion. I don't remember using that word, but I don't remember using that word. I don't remember ever being informed. I don't recall being informed of that.
Did you ask any questions or do any due diligence on this at all?
I don't remember anything about the facts that have been revealed recently about the subsource. I don't remember the exact words, but something similar.
That doesn't ring bells
with me.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty stunning thing. It didn't ring a bell.
Which I'm sure you remember.
I don't remember the exact words. I don't remember whether I knew the Democratic Party. I don't know for sure. I don't know. I don't think I knew before. I remember reading the footnote. I don't know whether I asked. I don't know what that refers to. As I said earlier, that does not ring any bells with me when I read that. I don't remember it. I don't remember receiving anything that's described in that letter.
You know, Mr. Comey, I call that selective memory.
Hey, I think that was Sergeant Scholes from Hogan's Heroes. I know nothing.
I know nothing. Had he been doing a job interview, I'd have said, you know, Mr. Comey, we'll get back to you.
Listen, I wish my wife and I have been married for 39 years, right. 40 years in June. I wish I had heard this 40 years ago, because I would have done that a whole lot more often. I'm sorry, sweetie, I do not recall. I do not recall you saying that.
I don't remember. I'll tell you what's going on here. You watch something sometimes and you go, okay, we know what you're doing. You know we know what you're doing. and it's just... So, I mean, why we even Comey right there is just.
Well, what did the Republicans think he was going to do? You think the Republicans think he was going to go, yeah, you know what? I knew it all along, and I got caught with my hand in the cookie jar.
No, I don't remember. I would have just started with a statement and just said, I'm here today. My name is James Comey, former FBI director, and I just have one statement to make. I don't remember squat.
Whatever you ask, I don't remember.
Right.
And I spell that S-Q-U-A-T.
Now, what do you say? Let's all go out for a burger.
Come on, guys. You know I'm not going to answer that question. We think I'm an idiot?
Yeah.
That's what he was saying with his answer. Don't recall, don't remember.
I don't remember.
Don't remember that exact word.
I sure enough would have used that the last 39 years.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I don't recall.
You're listening to Today's Issues. Well, most Thursdays, Jan Markell joins us from the Twin Cities. She is the host of Understanding the Times Radio, a very popular program here on AFR on the weekends. And Jan's also the founder of Olive Tree Ministries. Jan, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
What do you think about the debate, or what I call it, the food fight on Tuesday night?
Well, it's pretty disappointing. I think both sides needed to be a little bit more adult, but not going to affect my vote, of course.
Right. No, anyone. I don't think it moved the needle one way or another for either candidate that particular night. Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, Jan, I had a question about the voter fraud that's going on out there today. Every day we get a new story about, these absentee ballots, the way they're coming back, not coming back. Somebody was telling me this morning on Twitter now, you're starting to see accounts of people that put out there, they're getting their ballots in the mail. It's in their mailbox, but it's actually addressed to somebody else down the street. I mean, this is evidence of the confusion.
Yeah.
You have jurisdictions now where the person's signature doesn't match the signature on record. And the election people are being told by the court you got to accept it anyway. I mean, we're talking about the danger of an election being won by fraud.
And this is why the president is pushing back against all this vote by mail and everything. And I just pre-recorded a day or so ago Michelle Bachmann for a couple of programs. It doesn't air here for another 10 days or so, but we talked extensively about this, and we recorded extensively about this. And here's why, because once again, Minnesota is kind of the headquarters, or at least a hub, of what's going on, and that's because of Representative Ilhan Omar, who is clearly in the ballot harvesting and other forms of voter fraud industry. And my goodness, what she's getting away with is shocking, and I have to ask, would she get away with it anywhere else but Minnesota? And it does have to do with our 100,000 Somalis that we have here. It's very shocking, and like you said, Fred, the election of our lifetime, the election of the lifetime of America is at stake, and this is going on.
What I guess we shouldn't be surprised, Jan, from a spiritual point of view, the level of open dishonesty, lying and deception. We were just talking about James Comey's appearance yesterday before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Everybody knows he's not telling the truth. He got a job as the FBI director, so supposedly he's pretty smart. But we're seeing an increase in open lying, deception.
Well, I think what we're seeing is the Romans 1 mentality, and that seems to be the sort of the name of the game here for the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, but my goodness, the last year or two on the part of the left. And, you know, sadly, James Comey is the left. But, yeah, they lie without any conscience, and that's what it says in Romans 1. And quite frankly, that's when God's given over a society, then this kind of behavior results. I mean, can we take this back? I mean, I hope so. That's kind of what some of the activity in Washington last Saturday with Franklin Graham and others was all about, is to try to take our country back, first starting with prayer and repentance, which, I mean, never can do too much praying and repenting these days.
I did see, Jan, where the Minneapolis police has announced that they were looking into the ballot harvesting being done by Omar, Representative Omar's.
Yeah.
So I don't know what will become of that now. Is that was that in a primary, or is that in the general election that this guy was on video? Yeah, that was Project Veritas, by the way.
Yeah, Project Veritas, James O'Keefe. That's recently. It was filmed this summer, I think, in July. But it's for the upcoming election, and we have 100,000 Somalis. They began coming here in the 90s, and they're heavily in a certain district here in Minneapolis.
That's her district, right?
And it's her district.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, interestingly enough, that district is made up in the Minnesota area of the poorest and the richest, because it's a district that's also around our lakes. And Minneapolis, you know, is a city of lakes, so we have lots of lakes and beautiful homes around them. And to be honest, we have many Jewish people in that district, and in 2016, Ilhan Omar fooled them and said she would be pro-Israel, et cetera, et cetera. We know that's all part of the way Islam is allowed to lie and everything. So, but some of those Jews fell for it and voted for her. It'd be interesting to see how she does here in 2020. But again, Tim, it goes back to the voter fraud. She may easily win because of the fraud.
Yeah. All right, Jan, what do you got coming up this weekend?
This weekend I'm dealing with Dr. Ron Rhodes on the Book of Revelation, and the following 2 weeks, not this weekend, but the following two weekends with Michelle Bachman, and we'll talk about what you folks are talking about here, voter fraud, the election, et cetera.
Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times, that airs at noon on Saturdays. Excuse me.
1 p.m. Central.
Noon on Sundays, Central Time, and 1 o'clock.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
One o'clock Saturday.
If you guys want to continue to interrupt me, let me tell you something. I can give it back. Okay. So that's 1 o'clock Saturday, Central Time.
Tim, I think there's just one more thing before we let Jan go. It's October 1st, so now is the time to send your sympathy cards to Jan, because Ray talked about frost in Kansas. The first snow must be around the corner for Jan.
Oh, my goodness. I shoveled my patio this morning. 3 feet of snow.
No.
What?
Well, it's coming.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You got us hook, line, and sinker,
no,
Jan.
No, she's talking about November 1st. It'll be 3 feet
That's right.
of snow.
She's practicing.
For Thanksgiving. Good gracious. Thank you, Jan. Take care.
All right.
All right.
Goodbye.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Well, she got me hook, line, and sinker.
She did. She said that. So
well, because perfect. That wouldn't be crazy.
No, not in Minnesota.
Huh?
Not in Minnesota.
Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I've been to Ray, Fred, and Ed here with yours truly, Tim. I know you've probably been to Minnesota many times, haven't you, Ray?
A couple of times, but I've never been there
in December, January, or February, which is, you know.
No, Ray, we know how the Lord works in your life. You are called to go to northern states in the summer.
That's
and
right.
You are called, air quotes, to places like Florida and San Diego in the winter.
When God calls, we just have to obey it. I mean, we don't have a choice.
Like my dad said, that God gave you a brain for a reason.
Yes, that's right. Ray uses it, I know.
Ray uses
that's
right. it.
Except when he's riding his bike.
Man got injured badly. You're just making fun of him riding his bike.
He's a tough guy. He broke his leg in three places. What big a deal?
What's a big deal? I got another one, so it doesn't matter.
All I can say is Ray Pritchard is the only guy. He sent a picture when he's laying on the bike path.
Yeah.
His bike, he has toppled over. His leg is broken in three places. And he's taking a selfie, smiling.
That's right.
I said, only
that's
Ray right. Pritchard can yeah. pull that
the joy
off.
Of the Lord.
Joy of the Lord. The that's
joy
right.
Joy of the Lord. And you got to work social media, right? You got to.
One of the prettiest places, and I remember this vividly, I've been to was, took a boat ride on the St. Croix River. And that borders Minnesota and Wisconsin. I think I'm right on that. I think that is the border. And it was in like late September.
Oh, I bet that
and
was pretty.
It was the leaves were had already turned in Minnesota in late September, but it was just a beautiful memory I have.
Yeah.
And Allison, my wife and I, she collects rocks from around the world, if you can believe it. So in our flower bed at home, you know, all along our pine straw, we got. There's Greece right there. there's Israel. There's Cancun.
She remembers what rock came from where.
Well, yeah, and then we got this big rock from the St. Croix River, and I don't know if that's stealing from the state of Minnesota or not. But anyway, maybe we're on
they probably have plenty.
Maybe we're on the Wisconsin side. But anyway,
you were on whichever side.
Well, then it becomes international
crime
and the FBI would be involved.
That's
but
right.
As James Comey says, he has no memory of
and
it.
That's what you would say. I have no memory of where
no
that
memory.
Rock came from.
That's right.
All right. You're listening to today's issues. And I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, nobody here has been drinking. It's just we're just having a little fun here.
That's right.
Okay. You got to have a little fun or you go crazy.
In the midst of the decay of our country.
That's right.
Rome is burning, and we're having a – anyway, you're listening to today's issues on AFR. Do we have Alex now?
We got him.
Dr. Alex McFarland, host of Exploring the Word, each afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock Central Time here on AFR, joins us now. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Doing well. Where are you today?
I am in North Carolina on my way to a family reunion.
Okay, wonderful. So which side of the family?
Our side. My sister organizes it, so it's the McFarland side of the family.
Now, is this one of those family reunions that you say, we got to go, honey?
Oh,
we got to
no.
go. They're going to ask where we are.
You're asking him this on national radio?
On national radio.
No,
nobody will hear it.
Awesome.
Or is this one of the – okay, this is an awesome family reunion. Okay.
Amen. Yeah, we play Pictionary.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Wow, the excitement.
We do, yeah. Nothing's too good heart. For our family, but we have a good time.
Let me, I just got, can I just
yes,
jump
you can.
In here?
Go ahead.
My dad, who is 91 years old, God bless him, he's still going strong, but he is the worst Pictionary player in the world. Everything he draws looks like a stick figure. Every animal looks like a stick figure cow.
We went to the same drawing school.
Yes. Right. Just right. terrible. Nobody wants them as their partner. We would play, and I go, I don't want Dad. He can't draw.
He's picked last, and then after he's picked last, then they say, you get to go watch TV.
That's right.
It's so much fun. We were playing, like, Bible Pictionary one time, and my niece or nephew, one of us had, like, Noah's Ark. So, you know, there's this ship up on a hill and little stick figure animals come in two by two. And my mom was like, that's the feeding of the 5,000. And I'm like, Mom, now look, there's a boat on a mountaintop. Come on, please. We need this point, Mom.
The feeding of the 5,000. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. All right.
We have fun.
Okay. Who had – I wasn't at the –
yeah,
show
hey,
meeting this morning. Who
Alex, we just wanted to ask you your take. I haven't been on for a couple of Thursdays, but your take on the political landscape and your take on the election. Now, I do want to let our listeners know, if they don't know already, that you were one of the first people who supported Donald Trump, as far as I remember, in terms of the evangelical community. What do you see happening here? We're a little bit more than 5 weeks away from the election. What's your take on the direction the country's going and the political chances for the president versus Joe Biden?
Well, I'm doing a lot of praying. I will say that. I do believe Donald Trump is going to win the election. I want to encourage all of my friends out there that love God and country and believe in the preservation of our Constitution and really just the following of our Constitution to please vote. And I'm only speaking for myself here, but I just encourage people to pray and be registered and influence others to get this president reelected.
Well, I do want to mention, too, and I'm sure you probably saw a video or heard about this, but the kind of the dual prayer events that happened in Washington, D.C. just this last weekend, that was extraordinary. And it seems to me that more and more Christians are taking our spiritual condition reflected in our political and cultural condition seriously. And I'm talking about the Franklin Graham and the return that both happened in D.C.
Yeah. You know, Jeff and Ann Reed of AFA were up there.
They were.
And I wasn't able to be there in person, but I did moderate a streaming site. But it was so encouraging. I mean, my goodness, Dr. Dobson, Michelle Bachman, Tony Perkins was there, Bishop Harry Jackson, and of course, Franklin Graham and Dr. Governor Huckabee, so many people. But, you know, I can tell you two words that describe why it is so important for Donald Trump to get reelected, and that's human life and Israel. That's three words. Okay, life and Israel. The justices he's appointing, his stance for life, which is absolutely constitutional, and his friendship with the nation of Israel. And, you know, as I've said, the best favor any president could ever do the American people is to be a strong ally with the state of Israel.
You know, Alex, wonderful statements. God bless you, brother. We complete agreement with you. You've got your own geese issues.
Yes.
Except yours is a cat.
Exactly. Can you hear the cat?
Yeah, we can hear the cat.
Oh, yeah. Unless that's your stomach growling because you haven't eaten. I don't know. But
you know, Biden had it.
That's Alexa the cat amening me.
Yes. I think Alex has his own Noah's Ark there you were talking about earlier.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
How do you tell a cat to
hush?
Hush. Yeah.
You can't tell a cat
that's
anything.
Right,
a cat.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. A dog, you can at least tell him to do something. A command.
About the debate Tuesday night, you know, I felt like Donald Trump was having to debate two people. He was debating Biden and Chris Wallace.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, he was. Chris Wallace's bias, although he may have thought no bias was apparent. In an hour and a half, the way you interrupt yourself, the way you deflect a question or the way you ask a question of, for example, him asking Trump to condemn white supremacists. Okay. We all know that the violence in the street for the last 3 or 4 months have been Antifa and Black Lives Matters.
Right.
The violence, the mayhem, the shooting of the police, the protest, everything. It's a protest of rage from the political left at the police because they're authoritarian, they're racist. We all know that's what's going on. And instead of focusing on that, Chris Wallace wants to go with, what about the Proud Boys?
Yeah.
Well, the Proud Boys, I don't know much about them at all, but they're not the ones across the country. That maybe in Portland they had a conflict with the Black Lives Matters group on a Saturday 3 weeks ago or something like that.
Right.
But they're not a big national problem. And furthermore, Trump has already denounced white supremacy on multiple occasions.
Right.
So you want time number 18 for me to denounce white supremacy? Or do you want me to come out as a white supremacist here tonight, Chris? How about that? Would that make you happy? I mean, you don't understand. Instead of focusing on the real problem, so when Chris Wallace adopts that mindset, that's the way he thinks. That's the way the left thinks.
Right.
Okay? So he's identifying with the left-wing ideology in posing his question to Donald Trump on that. And the other thing, back to the packing of the Supreme Court, I saw yesterday Kamala Harris, the VP candidate for Biden, she also said she would not answer the question about whether she and Biden would support packing the Supreme Court with liberals once they defeat Donald Trump, if that should happen. And she said, I'm not going to fall for that trap. That's what she told Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper's looking at her, CNN, looking at her like almost like tilting his head. To his credit, he did say, for the record, let me say that you didn't answer my question on this. And so they're not answering that question, Biden and Harris, and they're saying they're not going to answer that question. The reason they're not going to answer the question, they don't want to commit on live national television to packing the Supreme Court with liberals when they get into the office, because that's a loser with the majority of the American people. So they don't want to answer that. But I don't know how you get away with something as substantial as whether or not you're going to change the number of the Supreme Court justices and call that a distraction. That's what Kamala Harris called it yesterday. That's a distraction. That's a big deal policy question. That's not a distraction. So anyway. All right. Thank you, Alex. We wish you the best with your family reunion, brother.
God bless you all. Thanks. And pray for America.
All right. Feed that cat or whatever. Whatever. Pull over and tell him you're going to turn that car around. if you meow one more time, I want to turn this car around and we're going home.
Yeah, that's going to work.
Right.
At least a dog, you can get a dog to cower in the back seat, even if the dog doesn't know why you're yelling at him.
Yeah. All right, Fred, we got a couple minutes.
Yes, a lot of Democrats in Washington refusing to meet with Amy Coney Barrett. She's up there for the second or third day now, and a lot of them are refusing to meet with her. Katie Pavlich, a writer for The Hill and also a frequent guest on the Fox News Network, had this to say about the progressive leftist values. Cut number four.
Well, we've heard for decades that Democrats are the party that are supportive of women. And as Amy Coney Barrett, Judge Barrett, goes around Capitol Hill trying to meet with senators to show her record and qualifications, not because she's a woman, but based on her history in the judicial system and as a professor, we're seeing that they have no interest in supporting her either as a candidate for the Supreme Court or as a woman who is breaking a glass ceiling. There have only been 5 women nominated to become Supreme Court justices, and it's becoming clearer than ever that the Democratic Party is only interested in supporting certain kinds of ambitious and successful women, and those kinds of women happen to hold progressive leftist values.
Yeah, that was Katie Pavlich, and she's nailed it right on there, that when it comes to the left-wing feminists, they're not interested. They always talk about, we're here to support women and the value of women to society, but Katie Pavlich is exactly right. They won't even meet with Amy Coney Barrett, who is a highly successful woman, terrific mom of 7 kids.
You know, Ray, I agree we're out of time here.
But go ahead.
I agree with Tim in saying that this is just a big charade. You don't need hearings these nominees. Right. You just simply need to say, we all know how we're going to vote, and it doesn't matter what their qualifications are.
Let's just go vote.
Let's end the charade.
End the charade. Also bring down the contentiousness.
Yes.
And the rage and the false indignity.
Yeah.
Just, everybody knows how they're going to vote. No minds are going to be changed by going through 3 days of hearings. In fact, it's going to be probably going to be shameful the way they treat this woman, Amy Coney Barrett, as it was with Judge Kavanaugh. Just skip it and vote and move on. Right. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.